Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, this week the Church gives us in her daily readings a set of texts from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, which are filled with insight, wisdom into the person of Christ, his majesty, his power, his glory, his preeminence, and also what knowing Jesus, being baptized into Christ, what it does for us. And I thought I'd take this week to lay hold of some of the passages that the Church gives us so we can internalize. Again, we can walk with the Church this week in the ministry of Christ as he preaches his word in the liturgy each day. You know, at Mass, what we're given is the liturgy of the word and liturgy of the Eucharist. We're given the order, the prayer, the offering of Christ. First of all, he preaches to us through his word, and the priest is in persona Christi. He stands in the person of Christ, and he brings the word of God to us. And the word of God is living and active, and if we internalize it, we receive it in the power of the Holy Spirit, it will literally change and transform us, which is what Paul points out throughout this letter about the amazing thing that hearing the gospel, what the good news of the gospel of the person of Jesus Christ and Christ's mission in the world, and that mission has touched their hearts, Paul points out that he sees and he hears and he understands the transformation that's going on in their lives. And the word of God is living. It's part of the bread that comes to us from heaven is God's word. Jesus lived by every word that came from the mouth of God, his Father, our Father. And we live by every word that comes from the mouth of Christ and this spirit-inspired word of God. It is totally transformative. It's powerful. And along with that, in the Eucharist, we have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And we have these two miracles, these two sources of power and life given to us as God's people. And in the Eucharist, we're given by a miracle of God's grace by the command of the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. The deed that saved us, which we'll hear about in Paul's preaching here in this letter in Colossians, the deed that has saved us, the deed by which humanity is able to move from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom, from death to life, and to be set in right relationship with God, the act of love by which Jesus died on the cross, the offering of his life to the Father on our behalf, one of us giving to God what belongs to God, perfectly fulfilling the great commandment to love God. You know, each one of us has been given that commandment. You know, the people of Israel were given the commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the commandments which were meant for our good, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to direct us to God, they in themselves are good, but Paul will say at different points in his letters, and might even be touching on here in Colossians, how those commandments that were meant for our good, that are meant to be a light for our path, end up becoming a curse to us, because what they do is they expose the reality of the fallen condition of the human heart, that at the core of our being, there's a resistance to God, that we're mixed, but concupiscence, the fallen nature that we have, wants to do our will and not God's will. We want to put ourselves first and not God first or anybody else first. And we were made to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus comes to do what we couldn't do. And it's that deed on the cross, that perfect offering of love and giving of his own life and the shedding of his blood, which is the means by which our sin, he became a sacrifice for our sin. He took away sin through his death on the cross. It's the shedding of that blood that cleanses us from all sin. It's what makes it possible for us to be made clean, to be purified so that we can become a vessel of the very life of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit that's given to us in baptism that Paul will speak about in the third chapter here in Colossians, where we're born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're united to Christ's death, and we're united to the power of his resurrection, and we're given a share in the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the reason the Lord has left us this great gift by his command, this gift of the Eucharist, and we gather around the Lord himself as a people, forgiven sinners, called, we're called the church, right? The body that's called to gather around Jesus. We're his disciples, we're his followers, We're on the way home. We're on a pilgrimage. And, you know, life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. We're going to be home soon. Or we're going to be in one destination or another soon. And the church is that living organism, that body that is spiritually and fully united to the person of Jesus Christ through baptism and through the Eucharist and the sacraments of the church. And we're living his life together. And at the Eucharist in particular, we come together to receive and to give thanks, to receive the teaching of Jesus. His word gives us life, and to receive his very body, blood, soul, and divinity that feeds us. And then he strengthens us, he heals us, he even forgives our venial sins and others. The beginning of the Confiteor, at the beginning of Mass, we come together, we acknowledge we're sinful, broken people. The just man falls 7 times a day. And we come before him knowing he's merciful, he's kind, he's loving, and he's triumphant, and he speaks the truth to us, and he has all power to accomplish everything that he promises to each and every one of us, and all the promises that come to us in the sacred liturgy. And that's where, as a people, we're formed. We receive our identity there. We hear his teaching, and then we see. I love the fact that in our Catholic churches, we have crucifixes, and Jesus communicates to us through it his full intention to offer his life to the Father and to express to us and for all eternity his love for the Father, which is expressed in his obedience to the commandments of the Father and the mission the Father had set forth for Jesus. And then he speaks to us and he says, this is the way to life. This is the way to fulfillment, to ultimate happiness, to completion, to eternal joy. This is the way home, is to follow in my footsteps. And that means to obey my Father and to obey my commandments with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that comes with the help of the Holy Spirit in us, because the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts. The love of God, which is the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts, gives us a new power and a new capacity to love, a new capacity to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to perceive their value, to have them reach the depth of our being. And the Spirit teaches us that we're children of God. And I love what St. John the Apostle says, beloved, we are God's children now. Such a beautiful, simple phrase. And I could see in almost kind of a wide-eyed way, he said, beloved, that's you and that's me, friend. Beloved, we're God's children now. That is the biggest thing about us. It's the most important thing in our lives, is the reality of what Christ has accomplished in us. And I wanted to just say a few words about the Eucharist this morning as we begin. I've been thinking a little bit about some of the recent studies that reveal the small number of Catholics who actually believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Most people seems they think it's symbolic. It's not just symbolic. It's the miracle of his presence. By his command, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that bread and wine becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And he feeds us heavenly bread. It's manna from heaven. In being fed, friends, we're united to the perfect offering that is made to the glory of the Father through Jesus Christ. One of the most amazing things that is expressed in the Eucharist and in this gift is that Jesus ensures that the Father will receive a perfect offering to the glory of his name every day until Jesus comes again in glory. The earth will recognize. The numbers may not be great. I pray that they are. I hope that they are. But the faithful Son, Jesus Christ, and all who are united to him in that Eucharist are offering to the Father through the Son, through the sacrament, through the ordination of the priest who stands in the person of Christ, sinful men who speak the words of God and whose actions bring about this transformation right before our eyes. And what that's about is Jesus is gathering his family. He's gathering his people. And the priest leads that offering of thanksgiving of sinful, broken human beings who believe and hope and love and trust God. And we offer ourselves with Jesus and we give the Father the thanks that he is due. Eucharist means thanksgiving. We're a people, if we're healthy and we understand who we are, we're filled with praise and thanksgiving. And we can do that throughout the day. But the Eucharist is a unique place because it's the source and summit of our faith. It's the source of our faith because where does our faith come from? It really comes from Christ's death on the cross. That's where it all happened, his death and resurrection. We're united to it all right there. We're put in touch with it. And I remember Father Joseph Mintzmyer, Senior, the resurrected Christ has the power to bring about the resurrection of Christians and to transform us by his power. And the Eucharist is one way that he does that. It's such a precious treasure. And leave it to the enemy to try to get people confused about it or to minimize it. And friends, I think what we're seeing in some of those statistics about how the lack of real understanding and faith in people is this whole drift that's happening. The larger spiritual battle is that the culture becomes more secularized, more purely materialistic, a greater doubt about God and the things of God. They have a misunderstanding of what faith is. People begin to doubt the supernatural because it doesn't compute in your mind. To understand and believe the Eucharist fully is a grace and a miracle. And so if you're struggling with it, I'm not talking about this to condemn you. I just want to inspire you to ask the Lord for the grace. A great thing to do is get before the Blessed Sacrament, maybe at an adoration chapel, and just take some time every week or maybe a couple times a week to just sit before the Blessed Sacrament and pray and talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, send me your Holy Spirit. Help me see and believe. And he will. He'll show you. He'll show you because it's the heavenly food that's meant for us and for our strength. But it's the offering of perfect worship by the church. It's the summit of our worship. It's also the summit because we touch the heavenly banquet. That's a whole nother beautiful dimension of the whole thing. But we're communing with God. The people of God are communing in a unique way in Christ, through him, in the power of the Holy Spirit at Eucharist like we do in no other place. It's a precious, precious gift, and the Lord gives himself to us profoundly there. So let's not miss Sunday Mass, and let's get to Mass as often as we can, right? So first chapter of Colossians here, we have just a couple of minutes. Paul begins, I want to begin in verse 3. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the world, in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit and growing. And so among yourselves, from the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth, as you heard it through Epaphras, who's the guy who founded the church in Colossae, a church that Paul actually had never visited himself. But Paul begins with reminding us and helping them understand how it is they were able to receive this good news. The good news came to them through the preaching of the truth, through the word of truth, and that word of truth put them in touch with God's revelation. And God's revelation led them to believe in Christ. And so you see that Paul articulating the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, which is really at the core, the heart, the foundation of the life of the Christian. These theological virtues are given to us in baptism. Theological virtues, they're called. But he does that in many of his letters to remind us that the Christian life, at its core, expressed through faith, hope, and love. Faith is that radical abandonment and trust to God, not only just believing the truths that are proclaimed about Jesus, but it's entrusting ourselves to his person and to the Father in relationship with him and radically abandon in living like nomads of faith. And of course, love is to will the good of our neighbor, but it's to accept the love of God and to return that love. And hope is the confident expectation that what we see and receive in faith, we will receive fully. What we see is Jesus Christ risen in his lordship, and we're destined to receive it. Friends, God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow. We'll continue to work our way through this letter.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.